Good evening, everyone. This is John W. Vanderkirk speaking for Alka-Seltzer, bringing you the news of the world with reports direct by shortwave radio from overseas. The final surrender of Corregidor and of the harbor forts outside Manila, which was conceded early this morning, came, it is revealed, only after those tough strongholds had been battered almost to dust by direct Jap artillery fire, and all their shore defenses had been torn away by shells. Some 7,000 defenders of the forts are now Jap prisoners, among them 3,845 men of the U.S. Navy and Marine Corps. Stiff Filipino and American resistance, though, still persists on distant Mindanao Island, so stiff that the Japs of today had to send down large formations of bombing planes. General Wainwright has stayed with his men. Three more Allied merchant ships have been lost in another bad day for us and good day for the Axis U-boats off our Atlantic coast. But at least today, a U.S. destroyer does bring definite tidings, of a kind which we too rarely hear, of the decisive sinking nearby by direct cannon fire of at least one submarine. And now a word from Charles Lyon.
If you feel mean and miserable with a headache right now, here's something that can help you feel better fast. Drop an Alka-Seltzer tablet or two into a glass of water like this. Now, listen to it fizz. Then, drink it. Alka-Seltzer looks good, it tastes good, and the relief it can give for that aching head is especially effective because its pain-relieving analgesic is already dissolved when you drink it. Also, because it is guarded by valuable alkaline buffers, this analgesic loses little or none of its effectiveness. Try Alka-Seltzer for that headache. Get it at any drugstore, either by the package or by the glass. And now, the news of the world.
To bring you a first-hand report of developments in the Pacific, we switch you to our reporter in Australia.
This is Martin Agrosti calling from Allied Headquarters in Australia. Last night, I attended a postmortem. It was held on the body of a dead American hero, the fortress of Corregidor. Almost all those present were officers of our army who had fought in the Philippines campaign. Some had shared in Corregidor's defense till April 29th, when they were ordered by General Wainwright to join the last party to run the Jap blockade. It was a sad and a bitter gathering. Every man there had left close friends behind in the hands of the Japs. Many had left their possessions and their families. All through the night until the early hours of this morning when I left them, they talked with Corregidor. One officer told me of how General Wainwright had told him and asked him to gather volunteers for a dangerous mission. I went to my outfit, the officer said, and asked the sergeant to call for 15 volunteers. Ain't no use wasting our time, sir, that sergeant replied. You know we ain't got nothing but volunteers in this outfit. I'll just name them by the alphabet. Every man there was agreed that Bataan and Corregidor had been defended as ably, as long as humanly possible. Every man told the same story of how no one had ever stopped hoping that help would come from home. I asked one officer, who left Corregidor only a week ago, what I could write of the fortress's last day. You tell them at home, he said, and I use his words now, that we've been at war for 4 months, and it's time the American people joined in. Just remind them, too, that it took the Japs 4 months to knock us out with everything in their favor. That may make them realize at home what we're going to face when we start on the way back there, General MacArthur. This is Martin Gronsky returning now to San Francisco.
From the Pacific battlegrounds, we turn next to Europe's eastern war zone. The story of today's major developments in the Russian sector comes to us from Robert Magadov, our correspondent who is stationed in the Soviet capital. Go ahead, please, Moscow. Come in, Moscow.
This is Robert Magadov speaking from Moscow. Colonel Olgin, writing in the organ of the Red Army, expressed the opinion that the Allies will soon have air superiority in the entire Pacific area. In his long review of aerial warfare in the Pacific, The colonel said that the Allied Air Force always enjoyed unquestionable qualitative superiority over the Japanese. He stated that both sides are now drawing on their plane reserves, but pointed out that the production capacity of the United States alone is several times that of Japan. The article said that the advantages of surprise attack and careful preparation for war in the South decided the first stage of the war in favor of the Japanese. But now, quote, they are compelled to scatter their forces, and in the further development of air operations over the Pacific, the activity of Anglo-American aviation will intensify, unquote. The colonel recalled the raids of American bombers on Japanese cities and on the Marshall Islands, adding, quote, these facts prove that the Air Force of the United States and Great Britain is switching from defensive to offensive action, unquote. Today, the Soviet people were cheered by the news that the Americans are voluntarily investing at least 10% of their incomes and war bonds in the new campaign. It is grand to know that every American now is saving to win the war. The Russians, too, are helping their government to finance the all-out effort against fascism. Last month, they oversubscribed in 2 days to the 10 billion ruble Victory in 1942 loan. In addition, they contributed about 4.5 billion rubles and 8 tons of silver and much gold and foreign currency to the defense fund.
That was Robert Magadoff in Moscow. This is San Francisco. For news of other fronts, we switch you back to John W. Vandercook in New York.
And now let's hear from the nerve center of the British Empire. Go ahead, St. John in London.
This is London. Tomorrow morning's papers tell the British quite frankly that the situation in Madagascar is critical, that landing troops have met stiff resistance, that the battle grows ever fiercer as waves of planes from a British aircraft carrier blast away at light French naval units. Those same papers pause to tribute the men of Corregidor. One paper calls the long defense of the Philippine fortress one of mankind's great achievements. Then it quotes these appropriate words of Abraham Lincoln. It is for us, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which they who fought there have thus far so nobly advanced. Tonight, air experts over here predict that the United States Army Air Corps will soon be given a share in planning the spring blitz on German cities, and that American airmen will soon be taking part in stunning raids on Nazi military objectives, raids which will make the Germans scream for mercy. Today, a 17-year-old boy in the Home Guard admitted in court stealing a Tommy gun and some ammunition. The reason? Well, he was planning a one-man invasion of France, a solo raid. He told the judge, you see, there's some people over there in France I want to deal with. The boy was caught on the edge of the channel as he was about to set out across the 21 miles of water in a stolen boat. He said he'd been planning that expedition for weeks after volunteering for the Army and being turned down. And now, this is Robert St. John in London, returning you to New York.
Though the British seaborne force has only been engaged in the job of trying to occupy the French island of Madagascar since late last Sunday, there has already been a disposition here to worry about how they were getting on. Tonight, that nervousness does not seem justified. There has been fighting and hard fighting around the vast protected anchorages of Diego Suarez Bay. The French and native troops acting under the frenzied, angry orders of Vichy have been fighting as hard as they could fight. A Vichy report claims the destruction of 3 British naval planes and of 7 light tanks which were advancing against the Diego Suarez forts. But even Berlin, which is taking a most anxious interest in the whole affair, tonight concedes that it is unlikely the French can resist the numerically superior enemy much longer. One account says that 20 British warships and transports have shown up off Madagascar's northern tip to make quite sure that this time enough have come and that they have come in time. An odd fillip, by the way, is given to the scanty news which has come through from Madagascar. In addition to a converted banana boat serving as a cruiser and a small submarine, both of which have now been lost in action, The French, at the time of the arrival of the British expedition, had two other powerful warships on hand. Both were naval cruisers, and both have simply vanished. At latest word, even Vichy did not know whether those two vessels had gone over to the British or had gone kiting off over the seas to some other unknown destination. Incidentally, this is not, as some have said, the first time that our side has got somewhere first. An earlier expedition, almost identical in political character, was conducted and won by the British last year against French Syria. And the Russians and British certainly scored a touchdown when they moved in long ago on Persia, far ahead of any opposition. And now, here is Earl Godwin, reporting to us from the newsroom in Washington.
And good evening, folks. Corregidor and the Alamo and the Maine and Pearl Harbor and General MacArthur's promise, we will return. And just now, Martin Agronsky's reminder that they intend to return in smashing victory. You know, your Uncle Sam's a long-suffering old gentleman. He frequently has to wait and take a firmer grip on the old long rifle and set his jaw a bit tighter and put an extra supply of powder and shot in the old shot and powder horns and just wait for the right moment to let that ornery critter have it right smack between the eyes. I think nobody in the administration typifies the spirit of your Uncle Sam more closely than your Cordell Hull, your Secretary of State, who rightly predicts today that from such reverses as Corregidor will be forged the victory for America. That fire it is in which the soul of America goes through the agonizing but tempering processes. News. The Office of Price Administration tomorrow morning or right now really is announcing official instructions for gasoline rationing in the Eastern Seaboard calling for sale of 2 to 6 gallons weekly to non-essential motorists. And I guess as we go to poverty on the tire and gas business, any low-down bum who cheats on the rations or any highfalutin brass hat that gets extra tires or a tank full just because he's on the government payroll is cheating on those 7,000 men in Corregidor who have made American endurance the outstanding feature of the world war. Because look, the Japanese have pushed everything else right out of the way. They're in Burma and they're in China and everywhere else. While MacArthur held and Wainwright held, that rock in the Philippines, by all Axis calculations, should have been invested long ago. Rationing going to a gallon or less a day will kill the billion-dollar tourist trade of Maine, billion, I said, and so on down the coastline. I mention Maine because it's Senator Brewster, via violent protest to oil boss Ickes, stopped American tank ships hauling gas all the way to Portland, Maine, whence it was piped to Quebec. Can you beat that? Well, metal pipelines from the oil fields all the way up to the east have been thwarted time and time again by certain self-seeking lobbies, still at work against it, so I was told on Capitol Hill today, and that's all from Washington at this time.
If you've been watching that household budget with an anxious eye, you'll surely be interested in this economy. The economy of keeping Alka-Seltzer handy on the medicine shelf. Alka-Seltzer is one preparation that offers relief in many different common ailments. You take it for headaches, simple neuralgia, muscular aches and pains, and cold distress. You'll like it, too, for occasional acid indigestion, upset stomach, and heartburn. Yes, if that household budget sometimes threatens to budge, you'll find it wise to economize with Alka-Seltzer. And be sure to listen later this evening to that amazing program, The Quiz Kids, presented also by Alka-Seltzer. Consult your local newspaper for time and station. Now, back to the newsroom.
Hawaii. Admiral Nimitz reported today that the Japanese have returned 5 times to try to make good their failure to capture America's Midway Island. And 5 times, Jap naval forces have been repulsed by the American defenders of that tiny coral outpost. The usual enemy visitation to Midway was by way of submarines, but so alert were the U.S. watchers on the shore that the Jap U-boats had each time to duck in haste and get away. And that's the news of the world. Until this same time tomorrow, this is John W. Vandercook saying goodbye from the newsroom in New York.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.